So I just want to let you know I have no disclosures, and I want to thank Asha for inviting me to be here with you today. And what I'm going to try to do is give you a pretty broad overview. I know some of you come with incredible knowledge and expertise, and some of you come with mostly information about chlamydia, gonorrhea, and syphilis. So I'm going to try to keep the talk pretty basic, and we can keep questions and till the end of the talk, because probably some of your questions will be answered by Dr. Ald and Dr. Pilewski. So what are the questions that I hope to answer for you? First of all, just what is HPV? What diseases does it cause? How is it transmitted? How common is it? How are HPV diseases detected and treated? How does HPV cause cervical cancer? And when are HPV tests useful? So let me back up a little bit and just remind you that HPV, there's over 100 different types of HPV. These are viruses that cause warts on our hands and feet, as well as viruses that cause warts on our genital or mucosal areas. There are about 40 different types that cause genital infections, and these are divided into low-risk types that cause warts and high-risk types that can cause cancer. This is just another display to give you a sense. They're all numbered consecutively by when they're discovered. And these are all genital types, and up at the top are the low risk or wart types. And you can see 611, those numbers might look familiar to you. That cause they cause about 90% of genital warts. And down at the bottom of the slide are high risk, and you can see 16 and 18 end up in different branches of this family tree, and they cause about 90% of cervical cancers. So I have a little movie for you. This is supposed to be an HPV virus. That's a uterus and a cervix, disembodied. That's a real cervix, pretty happy, healthy cervix. And this just shows you, the arrows will show you the basal layer of epithelium that's infected by the virus. Usually you need some kind of microabrasion, and the virus drops down in there and infects a cell. And you can see enters the nucleus and then begins to replicate, just like other viral infections. And I will move on, because that's the end of this short flick, and there's a sequel later in my talk. Well, it's not letting me advance. There you go. No HPV talk would be complete without pictures of warts, so these are just some examples of diseases caused by low-risk HPV types, vulvar, perianal, and penile warts. They also cause oral and laryngeal lesions, and you can see here on the upper left a wart in the middle of a tongue. There's one on the inside of the lip, and then on the right side of the slide are laryngeal warts, and these can be caused by transmission during birth. Very, very rare condition called laryngeopapillomatosis, but difficult to treat, and also caused by HPV low-risk types. So very quickly, how are warts detected and treated? Pretty much just visual inspection. Very rarely do we need any kind of biopsy confirmation. And treatment options include topical creams that actually stimulate the immune response, also cytotoxic agents that destroy infected tissue. You can freeze warts, or you can remove them surgically or with laser treatment. Moving on to high-risk HPV types. These are a couple of examples of cervixes that are infected with HPV. Different stages of HPV infection or advancement of HPV disease on the cervix that can lead to cervical cancer. Couple of examples of vulvar and penile cancers. You can see, not sure if I, there's my pointer. You can see the lesion here. You can see the lesion here. These are diagnosed with biopsy. So how do people get genital HPV? Most commonly, sexual intercourse. HPV is ubiquitous, including genital HPV types, and so other kinds of sexual practices can lead to transmission, particularly those involving skin-to-skin contact, also sharing toys and objects, and even some non-sexual transmission has been documented. Importantly, people infected with HPV have no symptoms, and so they don't know they're spreading it. And people that are getting it don't know their partners have it, for the most part. Makes it very easy to transmit. What about condoms? Do condoms prevent HPV? The answer is yes, but not entirely. Dr. Weiner up in Seattle, University of Washington, showed that consistent condom use reduces HPV incidence in women by up to 70%. And there's also some very nice data showing condoms may increase viral clearance and disease regression. However, HPV transmission can occur in genital areas that are not covered by condoms. So how common is genital HPV in the US? Well, it's extremely common. It's estimated that there are 20 million people currently infected. This translates to about 10% of adults and even higher proportions of adolescents and young people. 6.2 million new infections annually, and most estimate that at least half of folks and up to 80% will become infected with genital HPV at some point in their lifetime. So incredibly common, ubiquitous virus that lots and lots of people are exposed to. And I'll just mention a lot of the epidemiology has been done with women and cervical HPV infection in particular, but newer research in men is showing very similar patterns in terms of both incidence and prevalence and clearance of the virus. So these are data from a meta-analysis of 78 studies worldwide, and you can see just the how common HPV infection is, starting with adolescents on the left of the slide, moving toward older age groups. And you can see very high rates in young women, decreasing to less than 10% around the age of 30 and dropping somewhat after that. Very, very common infection. So why do young people have a lot of HPV? Well, there's some really great studies looking at, from the time of sexual debut, how quickly people become infected with this virus. And you can see the time course on the bottom of the slide. Zero is sexual debut, or the first time somebody has sexual contact. And you can see over time, if you look at cumulative infection or cumulative number of people infected with HPV, it is actually over 60% by 4 years. So 4 years after sexual debut, lots and lots and lots of people are already infected. Now the good news is most of these infections will clear. So what happens once people get infected with HPV? Well, for most people, nothing. Body's immune system usually eliminates the HPV infection, but a few people will develop warts and later go on to develop cancers. There's also a lot of studies following women in particular over time to look at clearance of these viral infections. And so how quickly do HPV infections go away on their own? Most of these, again, don't cause any symptoms. You can see at the beginning, they start at 100%. So following women who are infected with HPV, these are generally at the cervical site, you can see that half of women will clear their infection by about 6 months. That's this point here, and about 90% will clear the infection by 2 years. So very easy to get, but mostly goes away. Here's an example from a nice study that was done where young women, adolescents and young women, were followed with multiple specimens over time. You can see over here on the graph is the number of weeks and the type of swab that was taken, so 0, 3, 4, 8, so fairly close intervals, not for clinical purposes, really for epidemiologic purposes. And you can see this particular patient got infected with HPV type 56 at week 10, had a number of positive specimens, and then eventually cleared this infection by about 18 months. Here's another patient I think you'll enjoy. This is one person and multiple specimens over time and lots of different HPV typing. And you can see here, again, she's got multiple positive swab specimens and then starting and stopping, sort of picking up infections and clearing infections, lots of different types. And it's probably a safe bet that some of these represent new partners and new infections. And again, what's important and the reason I'm showing you this is that these infections mostly clear. Lots of examples like this in the literature. So to summarize the key points about HPV, there are about 40 types that infect the genital tract. HPV is transmitted by direct sexual contact. Low-risk types cause warts. High-risk types cause cervical and other cancers. Most people will become infected with HPV. Most HPV infections will go away on their own, and condoms are partially protective. So now I'm going to spend a little time talking about cervical cancer and HPV testing. So let me tell you a little bit about cervical cancer. First of all, nearly 100% of cervical cancers are caused by HPV, 70% caused by two types of HPV, type 16 and 18. Worldwide, it's the second most common cancer in women. 500,000 new cases per year estimated, 250,000 deaths per year. In the US, it's still an issue with estimated 11,000 new cases and 4,000 deaths every year. That's 11 women every single day dying of cervical cancer in this country. And we see still important racial disparities with African American and Latina women being more affected by cervical cancer than white and Asian women. So one of the greatest developments in medicine and public health was the Pap smear, named after Dr. Papanicolaou, who was actually researching vaginal ecology and discovered that when you look at cervical cells, you can actually see cellular changes that indicated precancer. And it was in the 50s that Pap smears became commonplace and widely implemented in the US. You can see this is cervical cancer mortality going back to the 40s, and the declines over time really from the cervical cancer screening program or Pap screening that we have in this country. In the last few years, you can see a leveling. We're still seeing declines, but not nearly as dramatic as when it was originally introduced. Somewhat of a leveling. This is just a US map showing differences geographically in rates of cervical cancer around the country. You can see the red areas are areas in the country where we still see fairly high rates of cervical cancer mortality. The blue areas are areas with lower rates of cervical cancer mortality. Similar color screen on the international graph, you can see countries that don't have screening programs, that don't have Pap screening implemented, have higher rates of cervical cancer mortality, and also countries with high rates of HIV disease in women. So a little bit about how this happens. So this is a nice diagram I like to use that starts over here with the virus, the HPV virus, and a normal cervix, and they meet. And the cervix gets infected. And from that, you can start to see some mild cytologic abnormalities, but most of these will clear, which is why the arrows are going in both directions. But you have some situations where these infections progress to precancerous lesions and then may also even progress to invasion or to cancer. This is a graph that reminds us of the lifespan time course in the natural history of HPV and cervical cancer. And over here, on this side of the graph, you start in adolescence, so around sexual debut, where you start with a normal cervix, you get infected with HPV, and the peak for HPV prevalence is really in these younger age groups. But that's not where we see cervical cancer. We actually don't see precancer until the late 20s and early 30s. So there's a long span of development there from infection to precancer, and then even longer span to cancer. And so we don't see the peak cancer incidence until the late 30s and early 40s. And so this gives us a sense that there is a long time span between infection and cancer, which is good for screening programs. It gives us a lot of opportunity to detect disease early and intervene and treat. Did y'all watch the Oscars on Sunday? This movie didn't get nominated. So this is showing, these are cells infected with HPV, and that's intended to show differentiation of those cells up through the thickness of the epithelium. Down where we started, we have lots of replicating DNA, viral DNA, and this will eventually start synthesizing proteins. And the proteins are appearing as little green dots. And once they are synthesized, the viruses can self-assemble, leave that cell to infect other cells or other people, as the case may be. And you also see a transition of the entire epithelium eventually to these abnormal HPV-infected cells. And the arrows are just showing you places where it's obvious in the cell that there are HPV-related changes or there's replication going on in the cells. This is a cervix, and that's acetic acid being applied to the cervix, and you can see the whitening of that tissue. That's indicating to us that that is tissue that's infected with HPV. Different cervix, and that's just a specimen being taken for a pap smear. And what you can see here is that because those cells have risen to the top of the epithelium, you can pick them up on your pap smear, look at them on a slide, and you can see these abnormal nuclei and these abnormal cellular changes. So that's how pap smears work. So you've probably all heard of HPV tests. There are a couple on the market now. Originally, there was just the QIAGEN Hybrid Capture 2, and then more recently, the Hologic Cervista was approved. These are tests that test for a range of high-risk types. You can see the numbers there. Most important ones are 16 and 18, but 11 others in the hybrid capture and 12 others in the Cervista. And the Cervista test, you can actually do a reflex to type out the 16, 18. There are several companies that are developing more HPV tests, and so you can expect to see more of these tests on the market. So, whenever there's new tests on the market, they're often used incorrectly, and I wanted to share with you what the recommended uses are, what the FDA-approved uses are. The first is in what's called triage of equivocal pap results. So when you have a borderline uncertain pap result, the HPV test can help you figure out, is this important, is it not important, should I intervene, or should I just wait and watch? It's also approved for co-testing with a traditional pap test in women over 30. You remember those curves where the prevalence of HPV dropped in women over 30? We don't want to pick up a lot of HPV infection clinically because most of it's going to go away. But if it's there in older women, it has a little more meaning clinically, and so we can do some co-testing. And then the third one, I'm not going to get into detail, but there are certain management algorithms and follow-up algorithms for cervical precancerous lesions where HPV testing is appropriate. So fairly limited use. Despite that, there's lots of misuse or abuse, and I just want to share with you, there's really no role for HPV testing in diagnosing warts. There's no test for males, and there's really no clinical utility of testing males. It shouldn't be used in screening in women under 30. And really, it shouldn't be used at all in young women, women under 21, because HPV infection is so common, you just tend to get a lot of positive tests, and they don't have a lot of meaning. Anything around vaccination, before vaccination, to tell you who's going to benefit, really no role for HPV testing. It's not an STD screening test. It's not going to be good to test partners of people who think they've been exposed, et cetera. And for precancerous lesions, the vast majority we know have HPV, and so the test doesn't really help you. So how can cervical cancer be prevented? Three big bullets here, takeaway points. First of all, screening. Screening leads to early detection and the ability to treat before cancer develops. Second one is HPV vaccine, and Dr. Alt is going to talk to us more about the vaccine. And then last on my slide, because it has an important role, but probably not the most important role, sexual risk reduction and condoms. Since I mentioned the vaccines, I'll introduce the topic to you. As you know, there's two vaccines on the market. There's a Merck Gardasil, which protects against four types of HPV, so covers warts and cancer. And then the GlaxoSmithKline Cervarix was just approved last October, covers 16 and 18, and so protects against cervical cancer. And you'll hear more about these momentarily. So key points, cervical cancer. These are your takeaway messages. It's still a problem in the US. 70% are caused by type 16 and 18. Most cancers take many years to develop. Most can be prevented by early detection and treatment. HPV testing can be useful, but is also very limited. And the HPV vaccine is a new and exciting prevention strategy. So, this is the wrong message. Not only is it on thongs, but it says, I'm immune to HPV. Yeah, baby. And then 6/11/16/18. This is probably a better message. I have HPV. You probably do too. So thank you so much for your attention.